Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the Bullseye Podcast brought to you by AFI Advisors. This is Josh Shores alongside Peter Raber and Brian Brummett.
Hey, guys.
why ruin a good thing? Just keep it going.
You gotta be known for something.
Brummett.
For the last sound of my last name, that's what I'm going to be known for.
And your parents said you never amount to anything. Well, we are back in the saddle. It's Friday. Everybody seems to be in good spirits. Halloween's coming up.
Spooky.
Love Halloween. Huge Halloween fan.
How do you all celebrate it?
Privately.
We watch a few scary movies, carve a pumpkin.
We don't live on a good street for trick-or-treating, so we normally have to go somewhere else. And I'm still, you know, at that point with having, you know, enough young kids that they still get into it. So we do a lot of trunk-or-treats. We've got a neighborhood that some of the boys' friends live in that's a really good neighborhood for trick-or-treating. So we'll get dressed up and go do that. Halloween a weekend this year?
No, it's on Monday. It's a Monday.
Is there going to be that push to celebrate it on the weekend?
I always get confused about that when holidays like this don't fall on a weekend. I never know what the...
Well, and Halloween's a weird one, too, because if it falls on Sunday, then a lot of people don't want to celebrate it on a Sunday for, you know, various reasons.
And if the stock market's open, is it really even a holiday?
No. Yeah.
I think that everyone's celebrating on Monday.
Okay.
From what I... Where... My neck of the woods.
It so looks if I like go knock on somebody's door on Saturday and say, give me your candy, that I get arrested.
Probably.
Or the bulk of the candy since they got it for Monday.
Arrested, shot... You know, there's a lot of different options.
Risk-reward ratio is a little off.
But, I mean, if you want to go for it, go for it. Also, I think you might be a little older, too old to be trick-or-treating.
Nah. Just, I saw this the other day, and I know teenagers get a bad rap for trick-or-treating.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but they're just a kid who has not bowed to the peer pressure of giving up their childhood. So I'm fine with it
I'm
as
like
long
that.
As they're out there to be trick-or-treaters. Now, if you're out there because you want to cause mayhem and be a teenager, then, you know, stay off the path, but, you know.
They usually don't even try, though, with the costumes.
No, it's like I wore a shirt. Yeah, you got to get dressed up.
You know. Get into it if you're going to do it.
I'm a teenager. Oh, is that your outfit? Yeah, I'm a teenager. Cool, you can have one, and they just stick their whole hand in there. Yeah. Brian, do you have some really cool, interesting Halloween facts?
I do.
It seems like you and I might have crossed internet paths on the same facts because several of the ones you read, I read.
Okay. The least interesting one is originally...
Well, let's start with that one.
Yeah. Well, you start with the least interesting because you want to... We started with the most interesting in our podcast.
To let everybody know.
It just kind of fizzled out.
This is time to go to the bathroom or go get coffee.
Originally, people carved turnips instead of pumpkins. So that was an Irish and Scottish tradition. They carved the turnips and to remember the deceased. And then they moved to America and discovered that carving pumpkins was just a lot easier. And started doing pumpkins instead.
No, there was no deep connection to pumpkins.
I tried to find a better reason than that, but it turns out pumpkins are just easier.
Like, oh, this is a lot easier.
Maybe pumpkins grow better here. I don't know.
Can you hollow out a turnip?
I mean, it'd have to be a big turnip.
I mean, I guess in my mind they were like lanterns.
Well, okay. what I'm thinking though, you know, a pumpkin.
It's a decent sized gourd.
Is hollow for the most. I mean,
yeah.
But I feel like a turnip is solid all the way through. Am I wrong about that? Do you know what I'm trying to say?
I
know what you're talking about. I just think of turnips being too small.
Yeah.
Like, what sort of detail work can we get in?
And these are like old school Irish and Scottish turnips, so they might not even look the same as they do here.
Wait a minute. Were they really pumpkins? They were just calling them turnips?
They just called them turnips.
Okay, that one was terrible.
Yeah,
I don't like turnips. And if you like turnips, I don't trust
you. Retrospect, that was a bad one. Sorry. I warned you ahead of time. According to Google searches, the most popular kids' costumes are witches, Spider-Man, dinosaurs, And then it just said Stranger Things. So I think that's probably...
The show.
The show. Just anything from the show.
I've not seen Stranger Things.
Missing
out. It's pretty good.
How would you even dress up like...
From the characters in the show type thing.
Very 80s style.
Okay.
Star Wars is on this list somewhere, I assume.
No, it's not.
Star Wars is on this list somewhere, I assume.
Further look. Fairies, pirates, rabbit.
We didn't beat fairies?
You didn't even beat rabbit.
You didn't beat fairies.
I went as the Easter Bunny one year. When you say rabbit, I thought that was funny to go as the Easter Bunny on Halloween.
That is funny.
So wait,
did you hide eggs everywhere?
Probably. I was young.
You said fairies. I didn't. What's after that?
Pirate.
Ooh.
Rabbit.
Okay.
Cheerleader. Cowboy. Harley Quinn. And then 11 is clown.
Well, you know,
not going to be a very exciting Halloween this year as far as
clown probably has gotten a resurgence from It coming out and stuff like that.
Wait, you don't watch scary movies?
I have no need to feel fear that I don't need.
You're like, I have enough as is.
I hate scary movies.
Okay.
Absolutely hate them.
I watched It last weekend and it was awful.
I wasn't a huge fan of It. I watched the second one also just to
I watched the newer version because there's an old one, right? There's the old.
The new version's done in chapters.
I think too logically for a lot of that stuff.
Like, the acting was good.
Yeah.
They just maybe didn't implement it the way I thought.
I think it's just a terrible story.
Yeah.
Yeah. Big book.
I might get a lot of hate mail on that one. But
bring it back around to finance a little bit. The average American's going to spend about $100 on Halloween this year. Decorations, costumes.
That seems low.
It does.
It is lower than last year, which was 103.
I swear there's a $100 blow-up skeleton at Lowe's this year.
Yeah.
Because one of my neighbors has it. It's probably 20 feet tall. But that alone was 100 plus, you know.
Yeah.
So if they spend 200 total, they compensate for me, who's not going to spend anything.
Anything. Yeah.
There's really just a handful of people that are bringing that out.
Well, and candy's really expensive,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, candy's expensive.
Well, and if you give out the good candy, especially like if you give out the full size candy bars, then you know that
you have to go to those rich neighborhoods.
Trick or treat.
And I know that we've talked about this before, but we might as well have real quick sidebar candy debate. Best Halloween candy.
I think mine changes.
I'm thinking.
Right now, I'd love
a
Rolo.
Cheat a little bit.
I can tell you the worst is candy corn.
Candy corn's awful.
Candy corn's amazing. The worst is easily. I easily have the worst. Brian, you may not remember this because I think they became outlawed. Do you remember the black and orange? There was no description. It was just black and orange wrapped candies that destroyed your teeth. But they were the cheapest candy that you could give, so you always got a huge amount. I think was peanut butter, and one was supposed to be chocolate, but
I do remember those.
Awful.
Yeah, you'd sort your candy out, and those would just kind of go into the.
Yeah,
I don't want those categories.
Were they hard candy or were they
no,
chewy?
No, it was like chocolate with.
It was chewy, but it was a hard candy.
Yeah,
it was awful.
It's like they took old
stale.
Candies.
Yeah.
Yeah, they took old candies from previous years, rewrapped them, and gave them out.
Or
to
melted
children.
Them down, combined them, and then it was awful.
So you really like candy corn?
I like candy corn. I like that whole. I like sweet things, so that's probably it. I'm going to cheat a little bit because I love Cadbury cream eggs, and they do Cadbury scream eggs. So I'm going to with that.
You mentioned Cadbury eggs the last time when we were talking about candy.
Oh, yeah.
On the podcast.
They're my favorite. Absolutely.
I'm not seeing Halloween ones.
They come with it's the same thing except the stuff inside's green. So it's a scream egg.
You know, candy corn just tastes like sugar wax to me.
No,
sugar wax.
Yeah.
What about you? Sugar. Favorite Halloween candy?
I like the Hershey bars with almonds in them. That'd probably be my go-to, but I'd love a Rolo right now. I've thought about Rolos all morning.
I like Rolos.
I just don't think you can beat Reese's.
Reese's are good.
Yeah.
They're solid.
Just,
they melt sometimes, and they can be a little messy, depending upon like how long you were out trick-or-treating, how, you know. I vividly remember growing up, and you know, Halloween's changed so much since we probably were all active in that scene. But my favorite neighbor, he lived next to us, Steve Machen. And he would invite us into his house where he would have piles of candy that you could go pick your favorites. And then I was thinking about it.
I was like, can't do that anymore.
I don't think you can do that anymore.
That's an episode of Dateline.
Yeah. It's like, you know, and it's like, and I always got all of his leftover candy. So, you know, that made him even more my favorite. So I'd always hit his house last and I would walk out with whatever he had. And I lived in a good trick-or-treating neighborhood growing up. So it's been weird. I think in the however many years, it's around 15, 16 that we've lived in our house, I think I've gotten 4 trick-or-treaters total.
Wow.
I would love to have trick-or-treaters at my house, but they don't come around. When I was a kid, we trick-or-treated across from the Bristol Mall. So there's a little community there called Westfield, and they all handed out candy, and there was a bunch of kids. It was a lot of fun.
Well, so people are spending, what, $100?
They're estimated to spend about $100 this year.
What else you got?
See, most popular pet costumes. Can you all guess any of those?
Yoda.
Oh, that would be a good one.
I've seen it.
I've seen it, but it's not on here.
No one likes Star Wars.
Everyone likes
Star Wars.
Have you seen, speaking of Stranger Things, if that's on the list for kids, they do a Demogorgon dog outfit.
Oh, that's adorable.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah.
No, there's so much. The monster in
who's Demogorgon?
It's the main monster in the first season of Stranger Things.
We've got pumpkins, hot dogs, bats, bumblebees, and witches. I feel like you'd have to have a wiener dog or something to go good with.
What was the third one?
Bat.
What was the fourth one?
Bumblebee.
Oh, bumblebee.
I just feel bad for the pets most of the time.
And they always look miserable.
They don't like it.
They're like, why are you doing this to me?
Yeah.
Just send me to the shelter.
You have to remind them it's because they got into the trash last week.
Although I will say, I was watching, I guess this one was Instagram. There was a cat who skis, and they had gotten custom-made ski goggles for it. And it looked like it enjoyed it a lot. So maybe they enjoy it more than we think. But I do tend to feel bad. I always felt bad growing up, too. Like, we had terrier-type dogs, smaller dogs, and it would get cold. And, like, you're like, buddy, I'm going to put a sweater on you because it's just that cold. And they hate it. And they're probably fine. I mean, we have, you know, eons of time of, you know, them adapting. But, yeah, you just feel bad. They hate it.
You put anything on my Cocker Spaniel, and he'll get on the couch and jump, dive into the floor trying to get it off. Yeah. It's just not worth it.
But it's a big industry.
It is. You know?
People are crazy about their pets.
Someone's like, you know what? I can make $1 million by making a few pets miserable this year.
You got anything else on
your list? Yeah, one more.
One more.
Good one. Mike Myers was inspired in part by Captain Kirk from Star Trek. Says the Mike Myers mask in the movie was actually reconstructed from an old Captain Kirk mask.
They spray painted it.
Yeah, they spray painted it, shaved off the eyebrows and the sideburns. They dyed the hair and gave it the signature Mike Myers look.
Never seen it.
You've never seen Halloween?
Or Star Trek. Which one were you talking about?
No, I've seen pretty much all of Star Trek.
I'm sure he's avid on Star Trek.
Yeah. No, I don't like scary movies. I refuse to watch them. So, no. Henry went to a birthday party. He's got a friend who has a birthday pretty close to Halloween, right? And so he had a party where they watched Halloween, and he went over, and that was when Henry watched it for the first time. And it was kind of, you know, parents and kids Halloween party type thing, and no interest.
See,
just zero.
One of the issues is how they categorize horror movies. A lot of times it crosses over a lot with sci-fi.
Yeah.
And I love sci-fi movies, but I wouldn't necessarily consider all of them horror that has that label on it.
Yeah. That's true.
I don't mind suspense, so if you did like Silence of the Lambs, I would not consider it a scary movie.
Okay, yeah.
I don't like...
Kind of a psychological thriller.
Knowing in advance something's going to jump out and then being unable to control myself from jumping when the thing jumps out that I knew was coming. I hate that feeling.
So I guess you don't do any of like the haunted houses or the...
Worst childhood memory.
We're really getting into this today. We're going to...
Over at, I guess it's Colonial Heights United Methodist Church.
Peter's going to have to go back to his therapist now.
I went to a haunted house at the United Methodist Church. And, you know, when you're a kid, you remember things. So I may be butchering what actually happened, but this is my memory of it. Haunted house, you're going through all the different, like, Sunday room classrooms in and out, and it was fine and scary. But then we went outside at one point and walked through the cemetery to come back into a different entrance of the church, at which point someone jumped out with a chainsaw and never again. Chased us into the entrance. And, you know, it's not like the chainsaw was running or anything. It's just, yeah.
It wasn't even running?
It may have been. I was too scared to – I booked it to that door, and then I skipped the rest of the haunted house and sat out in the lobby until my friends were done.
See, that's a good way to make sure your memory stays alive for a long time, is just scare a child so badly that it traumatizes them.
You'll remember me forever.
Yeah. Although I will say I love the commercials where it's the same type of thing. A guy has a weapon and all the four kids are like – hiding
in the chainsaws
and all the swords, and he sits there and looks at him. It's like, really? It's like, no, let's hide here. You know, yeah, we can make it to the car. No.
Yeah, because I know the commercial, yeah. and that girl's like, why don't we just get in the running car?
Yeah, that one.
And they're like, no, let's go behind the chainsaws.
The chainsaw shed.
Yep. Yeah.
Well, that's cool. That's interesting. I love Halloween. It's fun.
I love decorating for it and having fun.
I don't know. There's a lot of kind of ambiance to Halloween, some curiosity, and I don't necessarily always know what's true and what's fake, but I guess everything from like burning witches and to trick-or-treating.
All
and everything in between.
And everything in between.
I will say, just to connect it to last week with Tennessee football, have you seen the plans to checker Neyland with dark, so black and orange for Halloween for the Kentucky game?
I have seen that.
If they pull that off, it's going to look amazing.
Yeah. They might do it. I don't know.
They're wearing the black and orange jerseys for the game, so that's, I guess, where it started. But
Yeah. That would look cool. I saw the mock-up for that.
Yeah.
It would look really neat, especially with their new lights, light show.
Yeah.
That'd be pretty cool. At least it would be fun and entertaining because that football game is not going to be. We're just going to demolish Kentucky. I said it. Tommy, if you're listening.
He's calling everybody out on these podcasts.
Demolish you. So, well, let's switch over to some financial topics. I know we had at least two or three things that we felt was really relevant to kind of get out there to folks. And one of those being the 2023 tax updates. I know that there's some changes going on with that people need to be aware of.
I do want to start off by telling people that this won't affect you this year or this tax season.
Right.
It's going to start in the 2023. So next year you might start seeing maybe more of the money coming to your paychecks or a more beneficial tax outcome for you the following year.
So it's not going to affect this next round of...
When you pay in April, correct? Yeah. That's already set in stone.
Right.
So we've got a few things, and I don't know if you've got them on your sheet, but... Especially after the Trump tax cuts, we've had a significant increase in the amount of people using standard deduction because we wiped out the need to itemize for most cases. And so in 2023, we're actually seeing a very large increase in the standard deduction because of inflation. And so it's going up like $900 for individuals, $1,800 for couples, and the tax brackets are also shifting a little bit. So because of inflation, we're not taxing as much so that we can, you know, keep revenue in the hands of the people, which has been really interesting. The news today as we record this is we have the lowest deficit that we've had in 2 or 3 years. And part of that is because revenues to the government have increased $800 and some odd billion. And that's because inflation has created more wealth in the system to a certain extent, and they're getting based upon what those numbers are.
Well, and when your tax rate or when the taxes that you're paying is a percentage of the amount that you're spending more, the tax rate goes up.
That, and so also as wage inflation has increased, so let's say a business was paying somebody $40,000 now to get the same position, they have to pay them $60,000. That's $20,000 extra of income that's taxed to the government. So income's up by about 800 and some odd billion, and spending's down because we're rolling out of the COVID mm-hmm. spend out stuff, 500 and some odd billion dollars. So net, we're at the lowest deficit we've been in a while. So that's good.
So what you're saying is I can probably finally reach that next tax bracket, even though I'm not making any more money.
if I'm reading this right, it'll be you won't be hitting that next price target as quickly because they're raising the brackets.
The brackets are all going up. So
yeah,
up.
Yeah. Which is good for you. Right. So you're still you're right to be excited.
Yeah. Woo! I'm rich.
Well, and I should say the brackets are staying the same. So the numbers, the 10 and everything else.
The percentage.
But the dollar amounts that's applicable to each bracket is increasing. So you get more at 0, more at 10, more at 12. So it makes your overall burden less.
So just to reiterate, that is not going to have any effect on your next filing. It's going to be
the next following one. Yes.
I don't know what you would call that.
But to be aware of it, it's something that maybe you don't need to withhold as much from your paycheck. So if you're one of those people that tries to zero balance, not owe the government any money, not pay them any in April, mm-hmm. well, you might want to withhold less from your paycheck so that you have it during the year and not giving the government an interest-free loan.
Right.
And then, you know, so that's something just to mm-hmm. you know, talk to somebody else like us and say, hey, I'm withholding 17% from my paycheck. Should that be 15 or whatever it is? And that can be real dollars in your pocket throughout the year.
Yeah. Well, to piggyback on the tax issue, I know we were talking about student loans and where they stand on being taxed. Brian, I know that you had a couple people.
Yeah, I've had a handful of people reach out to me over this, and it's probably because I'm still in that school, you know, still paying off school age.
you're so young.
I'm so young.
Millennials.
But the federal government will not be taxing the student loan forgiveness. And as of right now, neither will Tennessee. The only states that are going to be doing it are Indiana, Minnesota, Mississippi, and North Carolina. Arkansas, California, and Wisconsin are all trying to decide if that's the direction they're going to go or not on the state side of it.
And I think Virginia is in that list too. That
I didn't see Virginia in mind.
Change in certain ways,
yeah,
because nobody was expecting this. So a lot of these state laws and taxes are not anticipating a large student loan forgiveness program. So we could see some changes in legislature that exempt this from being taxable income. We kind of saw that with unemployment, where the extra benefits traditionally should have been taxed, and then the federal government came out and said, no, we're going to make those, you know, not taxed during COVID type thing.
So just out of curiosity, if you are in one of the states where it is being taxed, how would that play out in real life scenario? So they forgive your student loan,
right,
and then would you, as the consumer, be required to pay said taxes on that forgiveness?
Yes. Yeah, so
does that make sense?
Loan forgiveness is considered taxable income.
Okay.
So if you have a $20,000 loan to an individual or to a bank, and they forgive $20,000, it's as if they gave you the money as income.
Oh, I see.
So it's like they give it to you and then take it back to pay themselves off. So that becomes income. So you will get a tax form, I would presume, and this is all up in the air, mm-hmm. that says you had X amount of student loan forgiveness. And then when you put it through the tax software, each individual state will pull whether or not it should be counted in income. But you're probably not withholding against it. And so in a lot of cases, if you've got $20,000 of extra state income, you could wipe out a refund. You could owe a bunch. I mean, it's just
especially
something to be aware of.
Especially if you're in these higher tax brackets.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it is something to be aware of if you're not in the great state of Tennessee. And we work with people in a significant number of states. So hopefully they're listening to this. I think last time I checked, we were at 18, 19, 20 states, something like that. So that we had clients in.
We're just so popular.
People just move away. They start off here and then they're like, I got to get out. No.
Can't do this anymore. Yeah. See,
they're like, I would rather go pay taxes.
No, people are flooding into Tennessee.
They are.
It's like we're just we're switching with people.
Yeah.
Everyone here who, you know, who's been here, they're like, well, we had our fun. Let's go to Florida. Let's go to California. And
I think people are getting tired of going to Florida and getting hit by hurricanes and, you know, everything else. So we're no tax too. So come here, enjoy the mountains and the seasons.
I have been thinking about that nonstop lately. There's your hot spots always where you're in danger every year. And you know that. You know that. And it's just, I can't wrap my head around why people would want to just, you know, throw themselves right in the middle of that.
Well, and I think there's an interesting thing that's about to happen in Florida, too, in that insurers realize this, too.
Mm-hmm.
And the insurance system for real estate in Florida may be on the verge of collapsing. I'm dead serious about this. After Hurricane Andrew, whatever year that was, most of the private insurers left, the big name private insurers. And there's a handful of individual insurers that are Florida specific. And then Florida's government at that time was like, well, we'll create a public option. So there's something called Citizens down there that you can get insurance through. But they all go out to the big financial centers of the world and get reinsurance. So somebody who insures their insurance on your house. So if the damage from Ian is as bad as what we think it's going to be, and I think it's going to be the most expensive insurance number that we've ever seen. If those reinsurers decide that they're done, there's no home insurance in Florida. New home insurance. So you sell a home and go to buy something, prove you have insurance. Oh, can't buy it.
Can't do it.
So they're going to have to figure out something in Florida, and it may be just that the cost keeps going up. So we couldn't convince you not to live on the coast with the risk of a hurricane, but we may convince you,
right,
you know, with the cost.
Well, something's got to give there, right? You know, because you've got these areas that continue to be in just, you know, the danger zone, the path.
Yeah.
And if you think about it, that's a lot of money if you have a hurricane even every 2 years, right. 3 years, mm-hmm. but there's potential for every year.
Multiple.
So I couldn't imagine. I could see that problem and I could see that collapse.
It's one of the reasons why I've always said, you know, because I've been approached a couple times about, hey, do you want to go in with this group and try to get a beach house or whatever mm-hmm. it is? And my thought process has always been, I could rent the nicest house on the beach for the time that I want to go and still be nowhere close to the cost of like the insurance and everything else that's associated with having a beach home. And to the idea that you may not have a beach, like the hurricane doesn't destroy your house, but it moves the beach 100 miles north and, you know, now you've got nothing. So,
and if you and the family want to do something different the next year, just do something different.
Yeah, I'm very much a rent versus own at the beach person.
So you don't want to go in halvesies on the beach house?
No,
with
we're not
me.
Going in halvesies.
Actually, I was hoping it'd be a little more lopsided than that. Maybe I could be an eighth.
you don't want to go seven eighthsies?
You don't want to go seven eighthsies?
Yep.
Well, we are we're reaching the tail end of the podcast here, but we wanted to address something.
We are not CPAs. We are better.
If you're a CPA listening to this, no, we don't think we're better than you.
We're not accountants. We have personalities.
You guys are going to get me in so much trouble. No, but
no,
we
love our accountants.
Yeah, there's confusion in the entire financial industry of who does what. And because we prepare people's taxes, a lot of times it's assumed that we're a CPA.
Right.
And to be a certified public accountant, you have to have an accounting degree. You have to pass the CPA boards and all that sort of stuff. But you don't have to be a CPA to prepare taxes. You can just be what's known as a paid preparer for taxes. So if you think about it, like everybody who's prepping taxes at H&R Block, who is an hourly employee during tax season, those aren't all CPAs.
Right.
And so You can also be what's called an enrolled agent. There's a lot of different designations, like Robert, because he's a lawyer, can file under certain circumstances for different things. But we're a paid preparer for taxes, but we're a wealth advisor. We're a registered investment advisor. And the bulk of what we do is investment advice. Now, we also do all the financial planning, the tax planning, but CPAs are very specific to doing accounting things and adjusting for GAAP accounting, generally accepted accounting principles and things like that.
Preparing statements, auditing, that sort of thing.
And that's become, the regulations that have gone into that industry. And this is one of the reasons why I think we prepare taxes so much cheaper than going to a CPA. They have to do X amount of peer reviews. They have to do all this extra steps that aren't really needed to prepare the taxes, but they are needed to keep their insurance mm-hmm. and to keep them in business. So it is a differentiator that, CPAs are who they are, and anybody can be a CPA. Like, we could hire a CPA, mm-hmm. but our firm isn't a CPA.
Right.
And one of the things that helps us with the taxes so much is that we deal with their investments.
Right.
So that we're able to take that information and just put it into the tax yes. side of it, too.
And CPAs deal with a lot of the much harder
yes.
things. So we will refer out, like, if it's above what our normal stuff is, for lack of a better expression, farm it out.
Right.
Farm tax returns are a good example of that. We do one or two, but the intricacies of that tax law, you need a person who knows what they're doing. Mm-hmm. Like, I used to do one, and then I gave it to Robert because it was not my favorite one to do. But, like, if you buy a cow at auction and it dies, you have a loss because you spent $1,000 on the cow and now it's dead. If two of your cows have a calf and you raise it and then it dies, there's no tax exemption, no loss, because you didn't pay anything for the calf. There's these weird rules on things.
Do female cows depreciate faster than male cows then?
Maybe.
Depending on what you're using them for.
You see, this is why Brian and I get along. We both, that was an interesting question for us, and Josh just went, what?
He had the same look I did when you all were talking about football on the last one.
I'm over here wondering, is the cow that produces chocolate milk more valuable than the cow that produces white milk?
Yes. Those are the same cows.
That's where my head's at. Yeah.
That's Hershey.
Yeah.
The magic chocolate cow.
Well, yeah. So we were having jokes, with that, the whole CPA thing. We've been joking around about that, but it was worth addressing in a lighthearted manner.
Yeah. We do love our CPAs.
Hey, you call us a CPA and want to work with us, more power to you.
We don't take it as an insult.
Just don't assume you're getting something you're not.
Yeah.
We like to be, what you see is what you get.
Right. Well, we appreciate everyone tuning in. This is episode 25.
Yeah. We did have one other thing I just want to hit it real quick.
Yeah.
Early voting started yesterday, or 2 days ago on Wednesday.
We totally forgot
to talk about that. So we do need to, get out and vote, be a good citizen.
Yes,
it's if you didn't vote in the primaries because that's not important to you, that's fine. Mm-hmm. But this is a really important Tennessee election. You get to be an abolitionist if you want to this election.
That's true.
There's four amendments up to the Tennessee State Constitution. On all of those, if you vote yes, you're changing it. If you vote no, you're leaving it as is. But we've got things like putting right to work being in the Constitution versus just state law. One dealing with religious leaders and political positions. One dealing with the line of succession. Interestingly, if the governor of Tennessee is incapacitated, we don't have a line of succession in the Constitution.
I'll take over.
It becomes a Game of Thrones situation. Right.
Every person for themselves. Yeah.
So you think about the 25th Amendment or, anytime a U.S. president is going under general anesthesia for a procedure, there's a line of succession. And if something were to happen, we know exactly what happens. Tennessee doesn't have that.
It's very similar to the office. So when Peter's out of pocket, I'm, taking charge.
And, yeah.
And we were joking about
Josh rolls in at noon.
Yeah. And the last one that I jokingly said, I'm excited that I get to add the word abolitionist to my resume. But technically in the Tennessee State Constitution, slavery is an acceptable punishment for prisoners. And I'm going to read it just so we get it right. Slavery and involuntary servitude are prohibited except as punishment for a person convicted by due process of law. So
does that include, like,
speeding tickets?
we're not paying Josh, yeah, by the way.
We're looking at slavery and involuntary servitude are forever prohibited, but nothing in this section shall prohibit an inmate from working when the inmate has been duly convicted of a crime. So, you know, like the work programs and stuff like that within jails.
Do you feel like because we've talked about this, do you feel like the term slavery in that is the correct
Who
term?
Knows?
Well, because when you're reading through it, when we're reading through it earlier, it's slavery is illegal unless, and you're like, why did they even put an unless after that?
Well, because you got to think back when these are written, and these are some of my favorite things that will go around. It's like, what's still on the books in, you know, various places? Like, it's illegal to, you know, stone somebody on Sunday, and you're like, well, is it legal to stone them the rest of the week? That type of stuff. But I think it just comes from nobody ever wanted to go back and deal with it at the time that it was a issue.
Yeah.
And then now we're going back and cleaning it up because people are aware of it. Because once it becomes a thing that people are aware of, you know, you don't want to be a southern state still associated with slavery.
Sure. Right. Yeah. Well, yeah. Good call. Everyone go vote. That is a big deal. And it does
early
sound,
and often.
Yeah. Early and often. Yeah. It does sound like there's some pretty interesting and crucial things there to be covered. If the governor does go out of pocket, I'm ready to step in and lead. I rule with an iron fist. So everybody just be ready.
Be ready.
If you have any questions you want to submit for the podcast, please send those to connect@afiadvisors.com. Also, check us out on all of our social media sites. Check out the website, afiadvisors.com. We spend a lot of time on that. We like to show it off. So until next time, guys, have a good weekend. Brian, go enjoy your lunch, and we'll catch everybody later.
See you guys.